Good morning. That's a little loud. Maybe we can bring it down just a tad. That'd be great, Nate. Thank you. I'm going to ask you right away to go ahead and grab your Bibles or turn on your iPads or your phones or whatever you use to get to your Bible and go to John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. I want to take this opportunity to welcome everyone. It's so good to see your smiling faces. It feels like spring is in the air a little bit, right? Wouldn't you say? Just a little bit. It's kind of warming up a little bit. That snow is beginning to melt. Some of you are so happy about that, right? We want some more. Just one more. Some of you, I feel like you're about to grab a stone or something. And, right, Justin? Where's Justin at? Justin likes stones. Little inside joke. All right. All right, good deal. Well, listen, we're talking about secrets this morning. Like, everyone has secrets, right? They may be maybe not very harmful ones. Maybe like, you know, took some cookies from the cookie jar and mom never found out, you know. But others, or maybe this one, you know, I ran that red light. You know, nobody's going to find out. You know. But there's some other secrets that we have that are a little bit deeper, a little bit darker. And maybe your spouse doesn't know. Your mom and dad don't know. And maybe you're the only one that knows about this deep, dark secret. And so you kind of keep it all locked up in there, hoping nobody will find out, hoping nobody will get a glimpse or get a clue about what that secret may be. You know, I think we can relate to that. Like, whether you're a Jesus follower or not, you can relate to the fact that you've got secrets and I've got secrets. And the fact is that for some of us, those secrets or that one secret has kept us from maybe growing a little deeper in our relationship with God. And if you're not a Christian, maybe you've got a secret or some secrets that have kept you from coming to God. Because you may feel like, you know, why would God take me? Why would God want me? Humanity's been dealing with secrets from the beginning of time. In Genesis 3, right? Genesis 3, to me, is one of the saddest chapters of the Bible. We've got it up on the wall or up on the board here or on the screen. And check this out. Genesis 3, right after Genesis 1 and 2, some of the most wonderful chapters of the Bible where God is saying, you know, and everything is good, and it's good, and it's good. The only thing He says there that's not good is for man to be alone. But then He gives him Eve, right? But then Genesis 3, then the eyes of both of them were open and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves and made coverings for themselves. So interesting that since the beginning of time, we've tried to cover up our own messes, right? And this is, of course, after Adam and Eve eat from the tree that God has said, do not eat, right? So they're trying to cover up. Their nakedness, cover up their secret, if you will. So then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to the man, like, where are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. So I hid. And so since then, humanity's been hiding secrets and trying to cover up stuff, cover up messes. We've all done it. From the time we were little, right? Even until now, we try to cover up and hide as much as we can. So we're afraid. Maybe ashamed. As a matter of fact, I've got a secret I've got to share with you this morning. 2 years ago, decided to take a bunch of college students, guys, because no girl would in their right mind want to go do this. But we decided to go spend a week and live in the mountains of North Tennessee. And so we said, okay, well, we just can't go do this on our own. Let's get somebody to kind of be our guide. And so a good friend of mine owns a company called Challenge Point. And his name is Larry Alexander. And he does hikes and he's a guide. He's hiked the Appalachian Trail like 5 times and the Pacific Coast mountain rim. And, you know, and he's hiked in South America. And so he's an expert, right? Good friend of mine has done retreats for me. And so I called him. I said, Larry, you want to go hiking? And as he said, I know just the right spot. Beautiful mountains. Let's do it. And so we get there and, you know, you got your hiking bag. And if you've been hiking, like truly hiking, your hiking bag is just this huge, ginormous pack that's got everything you need to survive, right? And Larry said, you need to pack light. Like your bag cannot weigh more than about maybe 25 to 28 pounds for that duration of time. Mine weighed 40. Most of it was food. And so that was our first hike. And so you learn a lot. And so about halfway through the hike, about the third day, we had stopped and spent the night at this beautiful location, right? These two rivers were kind of meeting at this one spot. And it was just, it was beautiful. We knew it was beautiful the night we got there. And we just couldn't wait for the next day because we were just going to see it in broad daylight. And we're going to see the rivers, crystal clear water. And, you know, it was just going to be, it's just going to be awesome. Larry had given us some rules to follow at the beginning of the trek. Very simple rules. Stay on the trail. Stay with the group. And do not pee or poop in the water. That's it. Now I said, you know, Larry, I get the others, but what's the deal with the water? The river's flowing, you know. He said, listen, we're just not going to do it because the water, I mean, it's our water source. Like Larry had these little filters that you used the river water and it filtered the water and you had fresh water to drink. And so, you know, he said, look, we're not going to contaminate our fresh water source. So we're just going to stay away from that. So we wake up that morning, and it's a beautiful morning. Nobody's up yet. Everybody's still in their tents. And I get up, and I mean, the sun is shining, and I'm just like, man, this is just great. This is great. I'm going to take a walk. And I took a little walk, and I saw this little place down this river that was just this little pocket, right? Just maybe about 5 foot deep. And I said, man, that looks just like a phenomenal place for me to take a bath this morning. I'm just going to go take a bath. I went and got my stuff, you know, and I had some Crocs on and some shorts and a t-shirt and my, you know, shampoo and loofah. Guys use loofahs. And so I get in there and the water's freezing, of course, and I get in and I start bathing. It's great. And it took me some work to get in there because it was really rocky and I was wearing Crocs. And you know how Crocs, when they get wet, they get all slippery. And so it was just kind of troublesome to get down in there. But once I was in there, I was just in my element. It was great. And then all of a sudden, it hits me. Like those 40 pounds of food I had brought in my backpack in one shot hit me. And I had to go to the bathroom. And I kept remembering what Larry said. But I also kept remembering the trouble it was to get in there, the trouble it would be to get out, go walk in the bushes, then have to get, you know what else has to happen. Find the leaf, all that stuff. So I get the bright idea. Yeah, one of your ministers gets the bright idea. It's the river. It's going to flow down. And so I decide to go right there. And so some of you are looking at me very startled right now. The things that you do in 15 years of youth ministry, okay? And so I go right there. And I'm like, hey, that was easy. Right? Actually felt kind of heavenly. All right? And so I go. And I'm going to wrap up this story real quick, okay? I go. And as I look back, something rises to the surface of the water. And it's something that had come out of me. And the first thing I thought, the first thing I saw was Larry's face saying, do not go in the water. And that, and then I thought quickly, man, this is flowing that way. We're going to cross. This is the way we've got to go. The water gets real shallow up there and there's a bunch of rocks. And so, you know, that thing's going to wash up there. Larry's going to walk by it. He's going to look. He's going to say, who did this? Carlos, get over here, because he knows me real well. And then I was going to be in trouble. So here it goes. So as soon as this thing, as soon as I visualize this and I realize what it is, thought it was like a stick or something or a Snickers bar. Here it is. I'm almost done. I grab it. And I decide that I'm going to launch this thing like a grenade. And I do that. I grab it, I launch it, and I'm like, man, I'm scotch, I'm good, I'm free. But there was a big rock, there was a huge rock next to me. And it landed on top of the rock, rolled back down, and landed right in front of me again. This is no joke. You can find Larry Alexander, ask him about the story, find him on Facebook, ask him about it, and he'll tell you. I launch it again. I'm like, okay, I got to get out of here. Get cleaned up, and I go. Well, stuff did wash up, and we crossed. We crossed that path, and Larry did know that something had happened. And I'm telling you, I didn't say anything for about 2 or 3 hours of the hike that morning. And it was just eating me up inside. It was just tearing me up inside that I had done that. And I just couldn't see myself telling Larry. I know he was going to be upset with me. I know he was just going to be disappointed. But I finally did. Finally, down one of the trails, I just pulled him aside. I said, Larry, I just want to tell you something, man. This is what happened, and I'm so sorry. And he was upset. Because to Larry, a guy that makes his living and he lives out in the wilderness, to him, that's a big deal, you know? And he was upset, but he says, okay, it's okay, Carlos. It's all right. I've done it before, too, but don't worry. Just don't do it again. Don't do it again. And so we all have secrets, right? Some kind of silly. For others, a little deeper. As a matter of fact, like Jesus himself had some secrets. In John 7, his brothers are telling Jesus they're about to go to a feast. One of the Jewish feasts, the Feast of Tabernacles. And his brothers are telling Jesus, like, hey, Jesus, you've got a lot of disciples. You need to go to the Feast of Tabernacles and reveal yourself there, like tell people who you are and begin to do miracles and make yourself public. And so like in John 7, like I said, verses 1 through 10, you see it, that, you know, they're like, Jesus, you don't, you know, with all that you're doing, you don't need to keep this a secret. But he does. He says, it's not my time yet. And if you can recall, there are many times in the Gospels where Jesus heals somebody and he says, hey, don't say anything, right? Don't say anything. Don't say anything. It's not my time yet. But we know that when his secret was exposed, that secret took him to the cross. When it was finally made public, it landed him on the cross. And the fact is that secrets, man, secrets carry a lot of weight when we carry them inside of us for such a long time. And as I said earlier, they're either making us afraid or they're making us ashamed and making us feel guilty. And so that's why we keep those secrets inside. Let's go to John chapter 8. That's our text this morning, and appreciate Charlie for reading it. John chapter 8, we discover that somebody else has some secrets of their own. Starting in verse 2. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and he started to write on the ground with his finger. And when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any of you is without sin, if any of you has no secrets, right? If any of you is perfect, has nothing to hide, hasn't done anything wrong, go ahead and pick up the stone and go ahead and throw it at her." Again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." And Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." I mean, this woman's sin, her secret is out in the open. She's busted. And I know, I get it. They were trying to trap Jesus, and so this whole thing was probably all staged, right? But nonetheless, this woman was caught in the act, and she's ripped out of a bedroom probably in some house and brought in front of the whole public in the town square, if you will. And here she is. Secrets out in the open. Can you imagine the embarrassment, the shame, and the guilt? But we know this is all kind of set up by the Pharisees. They actually broke several laws themselves. If you go look, and you don't need to do this now, but you could definitely jot it down. Leviticus 20:10, Deuteronomy 22:22, specifying, right, what the payment for such sin was, and they were completely messing it up. Because as a matter of fact, not only she was supposed to come, but the guy that was with her was supposed to be brought as well. So Jesus bends down and he begins to write. There's kind of some speculation as to what Jesus wrote. Some say that he was writing sins. Some say that he was writing names, the names of the men, the names of the people that were surrounding them. Some say that he was doing both, that he was writing their names and then below their secrets or their sins. Jeremiah sheds a little bit of light on some of this speculation. Not a whole lot of light, but a little bit. If you turn over to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13, you definitely want to write this verse next to this John 8 passage, because Jeremiah sheds a little bit of light. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13. Listen to what it says. Say, "Got it," if you're there. Got it? Good. Verse 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame. Listen carefully. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. And just before this discourse in John 7, Jesus makes a reference of Himself being the spring of living water. And so, could He have been writing the names of those people there? Yes, He could have. Regardless of all that, despite all that, the truth is that they turned their backs on Jesus. They neglected to believe who He said He was. They did not believe, and now their sins, now out in the open, cause them to just walk away. And so who's left there? Once everybody drops their stones, once everybody leaves. I just love that scene. Jesus is down on His knees and He's, you know, writing what He's writing on the dust. And the woman's just standing there. Probably just perplexed, overwhelmed, in tears. And Jesus gets back up. And nobody's there but just the two of them. And He says, you know, who's there? No one. No one. Well, neither do I condemn you. And so this morning, it's just you and Jesus. If you could just take yourself to a place where you can just kind of focus your mind and focus your heart and just allow yourself to be standing there with Jesus. Like, what kind of secret might have been exposed? What kind of secret maybe would have been brought out to the open that would have left you and Jesus there? We all have secrets. And if right now you're sitting there and you're going, no, Carlos, I don't have any secrets, then I'm sorry to tell you, but you're greatly mistaken. Everybody here is hiding something or hiding from something, and you're keeping it all locked up in a dark place, and you don't even want Jesus to get to it. But when it's all said and done, it's just going to be you and Him. But you know what? If you do have a secret, which you do, don't worry about it. Don't worry about trying to keep it from Jesus. Because He already knows it. He already knows exactly what it is. He already knows exactly who it is. And when it happened and how it happened. And even why it happened. Because God knows the secrets of your heart. I love the Psalms, and the Psalms give us a big picture into the heart of God and into our hearts. But look at Psalm 44, verses 20 and 21. If we had turned away from worshiping our God or spread our hands in prayer to foreign gods, God would surely have known it. For He knows the secrets of every what? Heart. You spread out our sins before You, our secret sins, and You see them all. How does that make you feel? I mean, teenager, old person, white person, black person. How does that make you feel to know that God knows all your secret sins? Like the things that you were looking at last night or possibly the night before that. Or the places where you were. Or the things that you said just maybe to your spouse or even maybe to yourself. Everything. He knows it. There's nothing to hide. There's nothing to hide. So stop trying to cover up your sins and your secrets. Let's stop trying to sew these little fig leaves together and make these coverings for ourselves like we think it's going to do it. Like we think it's going to do the job if we just keep it under the rug or we don't say anything about it. Or even if we just don't say anything to God about it, right? Because if we could just be quiet enough and not say anything to God about it, maybe He won't find out. And so we keep making these makeshift coverings for ourselves. Maybe it's money, pleasure, relationships. If we can just find enough stuff to cover up, we'll be okay. But I don't know if you noticed, it wasn't okay. Like, it wasn't enough. The little fig leaves that they made was not enough. If you follow chapter 3 in Genesis, you'll find something very refreshing and relieving. It's towards the end of the chapter. It says that God made coverings for them out of skin. The leaves weren't enough. And so God says, look, I'm going to make some coverings for you, right? For your nakedness. It's not a secret right now because I see you're naked and you see you're naked. And so let's deal with it. Let's cover it appropriately. The skin from an animal. Which implies that an animal had to be sacrificed for those skins to be made coverings. I'll just be honest with you. Some of us this morning are walking around with these little fig leaves, thinking that what we're doing is covering it just enough. But it's not. It's not. And Jesus comes. He steps into this planet saying, listen, I am the covering. I am the one that's come to be the appropriate covering for these secrets and these sins that you people are dealing with. Because Jesus came not to sentence us for our secrets, but to set us free and set us on a new path. I mean, that's we could walk away with that right there. Jesus didn't come to condemn you or me for our sins. He came to set us free from them and set us on a new path. On a new course, on a new journey. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Actually, I'd like for you to turn just a few pages back from John 8 to John 3. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I love this verse just as much as I love verse 16. And that's 17. That's the one I'm about to read right now. I want you to please listen to this, okay? For God did not send His Son, Jesus. For God did not send His Son, Jesus, into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Save the world through Him. There's no stones in the hands of Jesus. Like, you don't see Jesus walking around with rocks waiting to throw them at you as soon as you mess up, as soon as you've got a secret, a new secret to keep. He has stones in His hands. He's got nails that have been driven through His hands for your sake and for mine. The question is not about stones at all. The question really is, do you believe Him? Do you believe in Jesus and who He is and who He said He was and who God proclaimed Him to be? Because if you don't, there's no answer. There's no solution. There's no one to take your secrets to. Jesus didn't come just full of grace. So many times about Jesus in the church, we love taking in the good stuff. Like, yeah, you know, church, yeah, I just love that you know, that love that I get from Jesus and the grace. It's good to talk about God's grace and God's love. It's good to talk about those things. But understand that Jesus just didn't come full of grace. John 1:14, right? The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, the Father, who came full of grace and full of truth, right? And we want all the grace. Jesus, give us the grace. Give it to us, like, in large amounts. But the truth, we don't want the truth because the truth hurts, right? Like, this woman got so much grace from Jesus. Like, this woman just, she deserved to die. And Jesus saves her. Full of grace. Full of grace. But Jesus then says, go now and leave your life of sin. There's a truth part. Full of grace and full of truth. But the fact is, that truth is also good. Truth sets us free, right? John 8 also. For you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you what? Free. Free. Jesus says, right now, if you're sitting in one of these chairs, right now, please open your eyes if you're asleep. Pay attention if you're thinking about lunch. Please, right now, I need you to understand. He says, listen, I've got grace to give you, and I've got tons of grace to give you, but you've got to stop sinning. Now. Like, you've got to stop. Like, you can't keep going. You can't keep going in your sin. Now, I know I'm looking out into the crowd, and I see some blank stares, and we're feeling good because we're at church, and it's Sunday morning, and you think God is clapping. But you know what? We're still sinners, and we still need the grace of God, and we still need the truth of God to lead us and direct us to how many of us are willing to live by the truth. Jesus came not to sentence us for our secrets, but to set us free, and also set us on a new path. Truth sets us on a new path. I don't care if you're young or old or black or white. God doesn't care either. He's saying, listen, believe in my Son. You want to take my grace? Take it. But I'm giving you also the truth through my Son. So how are you living in truth? At school and at work and at home and at play when you're at t-ball practice. When you're out with your friends, when you're watching TV, when you're making a decision about what movie to watch, when you're making a decision about what it is you're going to put in your body. Right? Jesus says, go now and leave your life of sin. But I love that He says, I don't condemn you. I'm giving you all my grace. But you got to take all my truth as well. There are secrets that separate us from God. There are. But you may be saying, Carlos, come on, but I'm a Christian and I'm at church this morning. But some of us are Christians, but we're secret porn addicts. We're secret alcoholics. We're secret drug addicts. We're secret liars. We're secret cursers. We're secret... Why name? Why get down on the dust and write? You know what your secret is. I know what mine is. Some of you have been abused. You've been hurt. Some of you, your secret is that you're lonely. That you're depressed. feel unwanted and unworthy. Stand with Jesus. Stand with Jesus. Let Him give you all His grace and all His truth. Post-secret. I don't know if you've heard of what post-secret is. Post-secret is a website started about maybe 10 years ago now, and it started off with teenagers being able to send in postcards, anonymous postcards of some of the secrets that they had. Just send them in, just to be able to get those secrets out in the open. Look at some of these. I can relate to that enough. Would you stand with Jesus this morning? And let Him take care of all your secrets. Things you just want to keep hidden. Let Him give you all His grace and all His truth. Would you let His good news be your good news too? His good news is awesome. His good news is the fact that He went to the cross for us. That He was crucified and that He died and that He rose again and He conquered death. That's the good news. And He's willing to share it with us. So it can be good news for us too. So that we can also die. And that we can also be resurrected to walk a new life. But it only comes through Christ. It only comes through Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father, we want to thank You this morning that that there's nothing that we can keep from You. We want to thank You that You know everything. We want to thank You for being a God who's aware of our hearts and aware of our minds and our souls, Lord. And You're not ready to condemn us, but You're ready to send Your Jesus on the scene, Your Son on the scene, and make Him a sacrifice for us. Lord, we're the ones that... We're the ones that need to be getting stoned. We're the adulterous people constantly turning to other gods. And we're so wrapped up in ourselves, Lord, at times that we're even our own God sometimes. And so we're the ones that deserve, Father, to be stoned. But instead, Your Jesus took the penalty, the punishment for us. Father, our prayer this morning as we get ready to leave this place is that You please help us to search deep down into our hearts and bring all our secrets to You, Lord. Father, help us to talk to someone this morning. Father, whether it be a shepherd here or one of the ministers or just another member or a loved one here that we can sit and just talk with and pray with and figure out what it is, Lord, that You want for our new path and our new course. Some of us this morning, Lord, haven't committed to following Your Son Jesus yet. I pray that You bring us closer, that You bring those folks closer to a commitment in following Your Son and giving their lives to Him. Father, we're so thankful for what You do in our lives, and we pray this morning that You heal our hearts, mend our souls, unearth all our secrets, and help us to know that You will not condemn us, but You'll save us. You'll set us free. If we allow You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand.